Thank you, Jeff. See if you recognize this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then God bless mommy and daddy and brother and sister and aunt and uncle, grandparents, doggies, kitties, the fish. You know, if a little kid is praying that prayer, you don't know when it's going to end. Here's another one. God is good, God is great, and we thank him for our food. Amen. That's probably how you might have been taught to pray when you were young. But I wonder, has anyone taught you how to pray since being a child? Well, our next verse in the Gospel of Mark is on the subject of prayer. And today we only have one verse. Now, I'm going to share some other Bible stuff. So it's not just that this is the only thing I'm going to mention from the Bible. But as we're going through verse by verse in Mark, chapter 1, verse 35 is today's key verse. And it's all about Jesus praying. And I told Ron he can go ahead and just leave it up the whole time if you want. Again, I'm going to reference some other things, either stories or even verses. I'm going to reference them so quick, we really won't even have time to display them. So here's the verse for today. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Mark tells us a whole lot in that one verse. The first thing he tells us, as you're looking at it, is that Jesus was an early riser. He started his day with prayer, and he went alone to pray, and he went to an isolated place to pray. That's a lot in just one sentence. But even the phrase that it starts in that very beginning, it says, the phrase, the next morning, is significant. If you remember from last week's teaching and the prior verses we could read in Mark, the day before was the Sabbath day. Jesus was teaching in the Sabbath, and if you recall, what happened is there was a fellow that was possessed by an evil spirit, and Jesus cast that evil spirit out. And then after church was over, they couldn't go to Bob Evans, so they go to Simon and Andrew's house down the road, and probably thinking we can go for lunch, Jesus and his disciples. And they get there to the house, and Simon's mother-in-law was very sick to the point that she had such a high fever, she wasn't functionable, couldn't function. And remember what Jesus did last week was Jesus heals. He took her by the hand. She got up. What'd she do? She made lunch for everybody. Instantly healed. Then later that evening, we're still on the Sabbath day, synagogue, Jesus heals, they have something to eat. And then later, after it got dark, there were people from all over the town. They'd probably heard about what happened in the synagogue. All over the town, people are coming for healing. They're coming to Simon Peter's house, coming for healing and for being freed from demons. They wanted healing too. So who knows how late Jesus was up that night? Who knows how late? But the point I think I hear from Mark is that no matter how busy Jesus' life was, early in the morning, Jesus gets up, starts his day with prayer. Now, I could go ahead and just close with a prayer, and that'd be a good sermon for today. I mean, just to know that, those very facts. But you know, I'm not going to stop there. So hold your applause, please. I'll continue. So as I thought about Jesus praying, just from that one verse, I wondered, what else does the Bible say about how Jesus prayed that we could take and learn something from? Well, here's a recap of what I found. And it basically is in three categories. When did Jesus pray? Well, we just read Jesus prayed before daybreak. But other verses say he prayed in the evening, he prayed all night, or even prayed during the day. That pretty much covers it. Where did he pray? Well, again, the verse we just read for today, it says he prayed in an isolated place. But other verses say he prayed on a mountain or in the wilderness. Even one verse says he prayed in a certain place. I don't know if he had a designated place, if that's what it means. And then how did he pray? Well, again, the verse for today, he prayed alone in this case. Other times, he prayed with his disciples nearby. They were just outside the door within earshot. And sometimes he prayed with the disciples right there with him. And sometimes he prayed when there were crowds of even thousands that could hear him pray. Real quickly, I'm just going to share a sampling of verses that I found that hit the points I just made. In Matthew, it says, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. And in Luke, it was at this time when he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And then Luke says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. In Matthew, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here a while I go over there and pray. Well, that was a case where the disciples were nearby, but not right with him. And here's the last verse I'll share, and it's from Luke. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. That's our teaching for today. And I've got three points to make about prayer. You'll be able to memorize these by the time we're done this morning. Keep it simple. Keep it focused. Keep it going. Keep prayer simple. Keep prayer focused. And keep prayer going. Okay, so I'm going to take each one of those. First one, keep it simple. Did you know that the Lord's Prayer takes less than 30 seconds to say? Did you know that the Serenity Prayer takes less than 10 seconds to say? And I've got a prayer for you that we don't have a label for it or a title for it, but I guess I'm figuring we've all prayed this one before. It takes less than a second. Oh God, help. Or maybe just, oh God. Or maybe just help. You know, sometimes the most powerful prayer can be the shortest prayers. And the oh God, help might mean that I don't have time to start off with, dear Heavenly Father, you're wonderful and you're able to do all things and so on and so forth, and then get down to request. There's a car coming at me right this second. Oh God, help. I just heard the word cancer when I was at the doctor. Oh God, help. A spouse just asked for a divorce. Oh God, help. Sometimes it's just we don't have the time for a long prayer, and other times we don't have the words to know what to say. Sometimes the shortest prayer can be the most powerful. So don't worry about sometimes when your prayer is help. Well, that's less than a second. How about the Serenity Prayer? Maybe you've heard it. It's a little longer. It's still less than 10 seconds to say. Alcoholics Anonymous uses this prayer as part of their meetings. But it's really appropriate for everyone. It was written by a fellow named Reinhold Niebuhr, who was born in 1892, died in 1971. And the prayer, they said, as the research I did on it, said it was used widely in sermons and Sunday school, Bible studies, things like that. And then it was in the early 40s, 1940s, when Alcoholics Anonymous actually took part of that prayer, the first part of it, and began using it as part of their 12-step program. And here's the part that AA uses. This is the part you've probably heard. This is the part that maybe you have a plaque or have seen plaques to hang up in your house. It says this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. As far as most people know, that's the serenity prayer. But it actually goes on to say this: living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, so that I might be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. Amen. That's the whole serenity prayer. 10 seconds or less. And then the Lord's Prayer. We all know this one by heart. Let me share it with you. This was the prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples when they came to him that one time, recorded in the Bible, saying, "Lord, would you teach us to pray? We've been hearing you for a long time. We've caught bits and pieces. We don't know if there's a pattern or routine or what are we supposed to say? How are we supposed to say it?" And Jesus says, "Well, pray like this." And then he starts off: "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That example prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples, that's recorded in the Bible as an example for us, takes less than 30 seconds to say.
Pastor Bob,
yes.
The part where it says, "Lead us not into temptation," remember you.
Oh, yeah.
Preached on that.
Yes.
Ask God to,
yes,
help us from
yes. Yes.
Amazing.
The message was to Jesus delivers us.
Yes.
And he can deliver us from evil, for sure. So any one of those parts of that Lord's Prayer can be prayed just on its own even. Mm-hmm. Lord, deliver us from evil. Less than 30 seconds to say all that. And here's the other thing, just like that very phrase too. The phrases are short. They're not long and wordy, and probably an English teacher might have problems with it because there's not a subject and a verb and a noun and a pronoun and an adjective and whatever all the other things are that I've forgotten about grammar terms. Their phrases are short, and the wording is easy to understand. Whether you're 9 or 99, you can understand. Well, there's one time Jesus tells a story, and it's recorded in the Bible. It's about a Pharisee and a tax collector praying. And you'll recall this when I tell you about it. The Pharisee stood by himself, probably so everyone could see him. He wanted to be separated from the crowd or make sure he was in the center of the room. Anyhow, he stood by himself. And he prayed this prayer, probably loud enough so everyone could hear, and probably, this is just my opinion, probably a lot longer than what Jesus recorded in his story. And you can understand why. But here's what this Pharisee prayed. Here it is that it's recorded in the Bible in Jesus' story. The man says, "I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers." I'm guessing he had a whole list of things he wasn't. And then he says, "I'm certainly not like that tax collector." And he was probably pointing at the tax collector. But Jesus goes on to tell the story, and he says, "But the tax collector stood at a distance." He stood at a distance and dared not even look to heaven with his eyes as he prayed in his very humble attitude. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, almost as if it's a repentant attitude that he had. And here's the tax collector's prayer recorded in the Bible. "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Short and to the point. And then Jesus concludes his story to say, I tell you this, the sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. The one guy had a big, long prayer, stood, talked loud, lots of flowery words, all the right words. But the one whose prayer was simple, short, humble, that's the one God heard. They both prayed. One went home justified, and one, after all that praying, no justification. Here's the point. Prayer does not have to be long, complex, wordy, perfect, or even religious sounding. Keep it simple. The second point, keep it focused. Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden your mind starts to wander? Has it happened to you? Am I the only one that this happens to? Well, maybe I am. Well, okay, good. We do have at least one other person admitting to having trouble focusing while you pray. Did you know that there's a time recorded in Scripture where Jesus asked his disciples to pray and they fell asleep? He says, you guys pray for me and I'm going to go over here and pray as well. And when he got done with his prayer, he came over and the guys were all asleep. The Bible says it was an hour later. It happens to the best of us. If it happened to the disciples, it could happen to us. We're all familiar with a condition called ADD, Attention Deficit Disorder. Everybody heard of that, right? Well, a lot of people, whether they're young or old, deal with that. But I believe that there's Christians that have a condition called PADD, Prayer Attention Deficit Disorder. Hello, can I get a witness? It's very quiet out there. I think I'm the only one in the room. Lord, help me finish this up. So how can we overcome PADD? Well, here's some suggestions that have helped me, and maybe they can help you if you have this issue. Just four quick bullet points. First one, if you're having trouble keeping focused on prayer, try praying out loud. If your prayer life is just quietly thinking stuff, pray out loud and see if just saying the words doesn't help keep you better on track. Here's another simple one. Get out a piece of paper and write down your prayer. Write down your prayer, starting with Dear God and finishing with Amen. And then you have something recorded there that you can read again and again. Maybe you need to reread it that day. Maybe you need to reread it all that week. You could flip the page to the other side and you could write down your prayer request and just number them. Just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 99, 100, however many it takes. And just use that list to keep you focused. Just go one after the other. Great thing about doing that, particularly the prayer list, I've done this in the past, when your answers come or when things happen about that prayer request, you can jot down, okay, Tuesday, January such and such, 2021, this happened. Oh my goodness. And then as you reread that over the weeks and months and even years, I've got a sheet of paper that I wrote prayer requests down from 2008. It's the first time I ever thought of doing this. And it's encouraging to me to go back and see what God has done now, some 12 years later. here's another one. I guess even back to making the list. Any of you that have a smartphone, there's a notes app on most smartphones. That's a great place to write things down because that way you don't have to worry about where your piece of paper is. You've got them right there. One of the things I do on a regular basis, if I don't see folks at church from our congregation, I will text them every so often and say, how are you doing? How can I pray for you today? And most of them will respond to me. I even have dozens, if not hundred people or more that I text on a regular basis that have never come to the church. and I say, how can I pray for you? I want to stay in contact with them. Most of them will write back a reply. Well, then I have a list already made, because I just have to go back to the texting and start there and go through each person's text, and I see what they needed prayer for. And I can even follow up to that person and say, a month ago, we were praying for such and such. How's it going now? The last two I have on helping to keep us focused on prayer are complete opposites, but I'll share them both. Maybe for some of us, finding a quiet place is what will help. I can't have any distraction. I don't want any noise. Maybe I even need to, you know, the Bible says, go to your closet. Well, there was a movie made some years ago that's called War Room. And in that case, a lady actually turned her closet, a walk-in closet, it looked like, into her prayer room, which she called her war room, because that's where she did battle with the devil, getting her prayers answered. Maybe a quiet place will help you stay focused. Or just the opposite. Maybe what you need is a noisy place. By that, I mean, for instance, being out on the mower. Now, not this time of the year, or we have to talk later. But mower is a fantastic place for me to pray. Sitting on the mower, riding for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it takes, and that purring of the engine seems to block everything out, and I can focus on God. Sometimes it's in the car, and there's enough road noise that it's, or a tractor, and it's enough noise to help you focus. Maybe it's background music. That's something I like. Even as I'm working on my sermons or having prayer time, I like to have some music on the background. Now, not AC/DC. It's going to be a little different than that, probably. And then here's one other place where we can, and this can go either way, noisy or quiet, is nature. Sometimes we can just be out of nature, in the woods or wherever nature is for you, and it's quiet to you. Other times we can be out in the woods, that same woods, and it's as noisy as can be. With the birds and the squirrels and the rattling and the whatever's going on. So far we've learned 2 points about prayer, and I'm teaching us to pray. The first is keep it simple, if you need help with that, and keep it focused. Those two things will help you with your prayer life. And the last one's this: keep it going. Now, what do I mean by that? I've come up with, and I don't know what year in the past it was, I kind of came up with this idea. It's just a little rhyme. I have to do all kinds of things to help me to apply the Bible. And I just say this to myself regularly. I say, pray all day along the way. Pray all day along the way. That reminds me to, as I go throughout my day, to praise God as I walk through life. As I go throughout my day, I want to talk to God as I go throughout my life. And as I go throughout my day, I want to thank God as I go throughout life. The Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing. We know that verse, don't we? We pray without ceasing. We've heard of that. But I don't think I can keep my eyes closed and my hands in the prayer position for 24/7. No, and I don't think that's what the verse means either. I think it means to pray without ceasing is to stay in an attitude of prayer, to stay in a state of prayer. So here's what I do to help me to pray throughout the day. And maybe it can help you to keep prayer going. And it starts with even waking up. When I wake up, most of the time, I'm immediately thanking God for his provision of life and of health. Because here's the thing, and we know this, and it happens even in our small church, it can happen very regularly, that someone tells us of someone has passed away. And guess what? They didn't wake up today. So the very fact that we have life and we have health, even if it's not good health, we can be thankful for that. And that could be a way to pray, as just as we're moving through life. Well, now let's get up out of bed. And we can thank God and talk to him about our house and the water that's available and electricity and heat, and thank him for provision for shelter. When we're eating breakfast, provision for food can be thanked. And again, the provision for food does not have to be right before we eat, folding our hands and saying, God is good, God is great, and we thank him for our food. That seems like that's what a lot of times dinner prayers are, is some repeated phrase we've memorized. And as a child, that's great. But I'm not sure if that's what God wants to hear as we're an adult. So maybe we can just be in an attitude of prayer, of thankfulness for food. You open the refrigerator, there's choices. You open the pantry, there's choices. You go to the restaurant, and there's choices. Not everybody has all those choices. Okay, well, let's get dressed. We're just starting the day, remember? We've just woken up. We have got up. We're getting some breakfast. We've taken our shower and all these things. And we're getting dressed, and we can thank God for the provision for clothing. We kiss our spouse, and we can thank God we have a helper. We're driving to work or running errands, and we can thank God for the provision of transportation. Not everybody's car started today, but yours did. Mine did. Anybody walk to church today? Oh, well, okay, we do have, we're going to have special prayer for you. We'll lay hands on your car in just a little bit. Okay. Now, even while driving to work or to wherever you're having to go, there's opportunities to pray. You see an accident, praying immediately, God, help those people that were involved in the accident. Is there something I can do? Somebody's car is broken down. God, help that person be able to get back on the road. Now, I'm not going to stop and ask if I can help because I can't do anything. I could give them the phone. They could call somebody to help. I don't know a thing about cars. Even something as simple as when I see a dead deer along the side of the road, I thank God that I didn't hit the deer and do damage to my car. So in other words, I'm thanking God for his protection for travel, just as I'm traveling. And you know what? The things I've just mentioned, we've only been up a short time. So think of all the opportunities that there are to pray as the day goes on before we go to sleep. Now, I'll finish up real quickly with just some more examples of praying throughout the day as we interact with life. For instance, if you're a parent or a grandparent, like most of us are in this room, every time we see that child or grandchild, we can be praying to God, Lord, help me to teach them how to go the right way. If you're a child, you can look at your parent and say, Lord, help me to honor them. And then if we have kids going to school, as you're driving them to school or thinking about school, pray that the schools make good, wise decisions for your children, your grandchildren. As you interact with a teacher, and today the interaction is probably not in person, it may be just virtual, but you see that teacher, that interaction alone is a good time to pray. Keep it simple, folks. Lord, would you bless that teacher with good health and keep them from getting COVID and help them in all the things that they're having to do today that they weren't taught in school how to do it, to get kids educated. If you're a child, as you see your teacher, it's a good idea to thank God for that teacher and ask God for them to help you learn and grow in knowledge. Even something as simple as the bus driver. Your kid gets on the bus. What a great opportunity to pray for travel mercy, travel safety, knowing that that child and other children are in the hands of that bus driver. And here's one last one, and this might throw you. Pray while you're watching the news. There's ample opportunities, dozens and dozens of opportunities in a half-hour newscast for you to pray to God. And as the stories come up, well, what we could do is get depressed. Oh my, there's a record number of people killed in Indianapolis. Oh my, somebody's house was broken into. Oh dear, that fire destroyed those people's houses and all their Christmas was burnt up. oh my, cancer, COVID. And we could just, in a half hour, we could be so depressed. It's like, what's Bob's number again? I think I need to give him a call. Or we could take that half hour and find dozens of opportunities to pray. Every one of those events I mentioned, pray for that person who was murdered, hoping that they knew Christ, hoping that before they took their last breath, even after being shot, that they had enough time to ask Jesus to come into their life. Pray that the person who shot them, who's a murderer, will also be saved one day. Pray for that person who lost everything in the fire. Those people who are injured in the accident. All those statistics about COVID, there's a name associated with every number, every percentage. There's a name associated with that. And pray for those people. Every interaction, watching the news, or just going throughout our day is a prayer point. That'll help. So, in other words, keep it going as you pray all day along the way. And I'm going to finish it up here in the next 15 seconds. But I hope these three suggestions, based on Bible teachings, will help in your prayer life. And here they are. Keep it simple, keep it focused, and keep it going. Now let's pray. Father, we want to talk to you today and every day. So please help us to do it better. Amen. And now go and be blessed and be a blessing.